Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Thank you so much for joining me here for this recording. This is the one that I told you I would have to do in an empty room, and that's exactly what's happening here. But it doesn't change the message itself. I do pray that everyone has had a blessed week, no matter when you're watching this. My name is John Thomason, and I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. What I want to talk about today is we are in the month of October for this recording, and we are starting a brand new series. And every time around this year, we do some sort of scary or spooky theme, and this year's theme is called Cursed. And there are a lot of things that we can think of when it comes to being cursed. Some may think like cursed is like having bad luck, or maybe you feel you're cursed because you feel that everything just goes wrong in your life when you're just getting beat down left and right. You're like, man, I am just cursed. When I think of the word cursed, I always think of when I go to Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and you have Mercutio there, and one of my favorite lines he says to them is a plague on both your houses, and what he's doing is he's cursing them with misfortune for what has happened to him, and he blames them for everything. So he's doing this curse on them. He's saying, I'm so upset with you, I'm so mad that I'm actually going to go ahead and curse you right here and now. And that is what we think of when we think of some curses, like someone putting like a spell on you or a hex on you or just cursing your existence. I just wish you were never born. And that's not great. That's mean as well. And those are terrible, awful things, but when it comes down to it, in a biblical sense, we see that curses do exist, but it's in a different manner that it's happening. So we know that there are blessings, and then you have the other side, which are your curses. And blessings are good things that are from God, or when other people bless us, we have these blessings. And of course, we all want God's blessings and to be blessed by other people or to go out and bless other people. But you do have the other side. Curses do exist. And we're not supposed to curse others, and nobody wants to be cursed. And when I say we're talking about cursing, we're not talking about profanity, okay? So this is not me saying, you know, you're going out there and doing swear words towards people. No, this is like misfortune on others that you're saying, I hope that the worst happens to you or what's happening there. And so we're not supposed to do that. But we also know that curses do exist and curses have happened. And we see one right at the beginning with Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. After they eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because they were lied to by the serpent, God says to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You are going to crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. Now that sounds like a horrible curse to me. Now, I know this brings up some other questions that people like to ask, and they're like, wait a minute, we're talking about the serpent was cursed to crawl on his belly. Does that mean he had legs? I'm going to assume he had 1,000 just because that'd be funnier that he had a whole bunch. But anyways, when it comes to our lives, many of us feel like we are cursed. And there are a few things that we feel like just are this supernatural curse that we cannot break free from. It's a curse that just haunts us, a curse that keeps us from living this full life, or maybe that we feel like we are cursed and not being able to follow God, and that we just don't receive any blessings from God because we are just cursed people. And so starting off this week, we're going to talk about being cursed by our past. Next week, we're going to look at being cursed by our sins. And then the very last week, we're going to be talking all about being cursed with loss, that we're going to lose the things that we love. So this week, with cursed by our past, many instantly go to the mistakes that we have made, or maybe the past sins that we have committed. And yes, that is part of our past, and we feel like it's haunting us, but I want to let you know we're not focusing on your past sins and mistakes when we're talking about the past, because there's so much more than just our mistakes that shape and mold us. The biggest influence that molds us into who we are today when we look at our past is usually people that have been in our lives or the experiences or things that we have gone through. If you were told that you will never amount to anything, that you are a failure, you're going to believe these things. But it works the opposite way as well. If you're told that you were always right, Or that, you know what, you deserve everything in this world. You start to believe that no one can tell you no, or that you are in control, that you get to make all the decisions and nobody else can tell you what to do. And these teachings that you have been taught could have been from your parents, it could have been from different family members, friends, kids at school, let's be honest, those kids that were so mean to you, that's something that sticks with you. Even church people and ministers that have talked to you have heard of so much just hurt and things that have just molded them into who they are today, they say, because of what they were told. But the truth is, we have to understand things that have happened to us, things that we've done, and things that have been told to us, they stick with us. We make decisions in our lives based off of the things that we are told, the way that we have lived. But then there are all the other outside influences as well. So it's not just people. So we have things like movies of the time, the music that you're listening to, television programming, ads in magazines, even societal things that are going on. They are some things that actually tell us what we're going to be, and they kind of guide us. Well, this is what's right and this is what's wrong, and we make decisions off of that. So here's an example of a couple like outside influences that I remember from when I was growing up, okay? So the first one we're going to talk about is milk, all right? Milk was like all the rage, all right? I want you to stick with me here because it sounds really weird. Why is he talking about milk and why did it shape John's life? That's not what I'm saying. Okay, I know it's weird, but every other commercial on TV, in magazines, even in comic books, it was about milk. They had this whole slogan and it was so short, so catchy, and everybody knew it. It was got milk. It was everywhere. You had these celebrities with like milk mustaches. So you'd have like Hulk Hogan and he'd be holding a glass of milk with a milk mustache. And he'd be like, have you drank your milk, brother? You know, that's what they would do. They would use these influences. And then you had some like really crazy weird ones that you'd have like a guy over there and his leg is like backwards and broken. And they would say in there, did you drink your milk today? Because if you don't, you know, they're telling you your bones are going to break. And then for me, a person who loves comic books, I even had some comics that actually had like Superman drawn and he's drinking milk and it was like, be as strong as Superman is, drink your milk today, got milk, you know, that was this whole thing. And if you didn't drink your milk, they'd be like, that's the problem. That's why you're so weak. You don't drink milk. And so my generation, we just grew up thinking that you have to have milk and not a little bit of it. You know, you're like, okay, well, I don't want my bones to break or I want to be like Superman. So I'm going to go into the fridge there and you just start chugging away because that's what's going to make me strong. And funny enough, it's not the milk that makes your bones and your body strong. It's the calcium that's in it. But you don't have to get calcium just from milk. But a whole generation instantly said, I need more milk. Why? Because they're telling me so. It kind of molded us into wanting milk. And funny enough, my generation then was like, well, our children, they need all the milk they can get. And not just, you know, milk and formula when they're babies. We're talking when they're toddlers and children. We're like, go ahead and drink that milk. It's just something that was pushed on us. And we're like, yeah, this is going to mold my thinking and what I do. So here's another example that's a little less funny, but my generation, we grew up and we were told college is everything. You were told that you have to get a four-year degree or you will amount to nothing. You will be stuck in a dead-end job. You'll be broke and homeless. You'll be less than in this society, and it's all because you do not have that degree. That's what we were taught. That's what we were told. And I know so many people that believed this. Now, I'm not saying that having a four-year degree is useless, that you shouldn't get one. That is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is we were told that is the only option. And we know that's not the only option. And it really is a silly thought process that without a degree, you were just doomed as a human. That you're just really going to be nothing in this world and you probably should just figure out your life because you didn't go to college. And that's what we strive for. We all went and finished high school and we said, well, now I have to go to college and I have to get that four-year degree. And then I'm going to be worth something in society. And we know that this is not true. Many that get a four-year degree, they do nothing with it. And many people, they go to vocational schools. They don't get a four-year degree, and they're doing amazing things. And then many just join the workforce, and they work their way up in the job there, and they've made wonderful strides in their lives, and they're doing awesome, amazing, and wonderful. And what we have to understand is that my generation was told, you cannot be anything without this four-year degree, and it shaped so many people's minds, and it warped their minds. I know so many that have gotten the four-year degree, they're not using it, and what do they say? Well, I'm a failure. I did what society told me to do, and it didn't work out, so what am I doing wrong? And then we have so many people that I know that didn't go to college, and they say, well, that's why I'm in the place I'm at. And that's because I didn't go to college. And so they put all their hopes and dreams in these things, and it didn't work out the way they thought it would. And now they're left feeling lost. They feel like they're cursed by the decisions of their past. If I would have studied harder in school, they say, I could have been something. If I just wouldn't have left home at such a young age, I really, really could have seen myself becoming so much better than I am today. If I didn't get married so early, then I wouldn't have made those certain mistakes. We live in this past where we say, man, I have so many regrets. And because of it, it molds our future. And it determines our life right now. We say, there's no way for me to get away from this because look at my past. If you're relating to any of this, I want you to know something. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are not defined by your past. You are not cursed by your past. And that is because that past, that old life, those old ways, they are dead and gone. And that's what we're going to look at today. Let's go ahead and turn to Colossians 3, 1 through 11. Colossians 3, 1 through 11. From the front, I read from the NIV Bible. If you'd like to follow along in the same Bible that I'm using. We have some in the rows and a stack in the back. If you do not own a Bible, please take one with you. It is yours to keep. We will always give away the Word of God for free here at Buckeye. We're going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 11 in its entirety and talk about what's happening here. It says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So let's start on verse 3 here, okay, that we just read, and then we'll go back to verse 1 that we read. But verse 3 flat out says, you have died. It's not that your old self, that old you, that old life is still wandering around somewhere. It says that old you, that old life, your past, everything that was there, it is dead and gone. But now, you're a new creation. And this is said over and over throughout the Bible. And it's because God is trying to tell us something. He wants us to realize that old you is dead and gone. So we get 2 Corinthians 2:17. It says, therefore, if anyone, any person who is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. And the new is here. It's said twice right there in that verse. The new creation has come. That old and gone, the old person is just dead. It's gone. But the new is here. And we have to realize it. We have to accept it. We have to start living like we know this is true. And then you get Galatians 2:20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Again, this does not mean that you need to go and actually be crucified on a cross. This is saying that old life, your old desires, your old wants, all those things that shaped you and that you hold on to and say, I'm cursed by this past. It says, no, it died. It is gone. And it's no longer you that's living, but it's Christ who lives in us. That's what's also being said in Colossians that we read. All those things from your past, they're gone. That person is dead. All those things that you were told that you're a failure because you didn't do this, that's gone. All those mistakes you made, that's gone. All those things that tell you to drink milk, okay? It's gone. You can move on from these things. But what's amazing is this is not an eternal death. It's a death from your old self. And we are created new. And that is why with verse 1 it says, you have been raised with Christ. All those things you lived for, all those past mistakes and teachings, you have to let them go. They're from before. They're from before you were made into something new. And it's time to live the truth. And we have to understand the truth isn't whatever you feel the truth is. The truth is God's Word, the Bible. This is truth. Of course, we still have jobs. Of course, we still have families. Of course, we still have to be here on this earth and live. But now we are to do it differently. All those things that defined you before, they no longer do. You're now defined by one thing and one thing alone, and that's Jesus Christ. You're now new in Him. And because we are new, this is why we are told to set our hearts on things above, to set our minds on things above, not these earthly things. And that's because we lived that way already. We already lived for the world. We already were told, go out there, make money. It'll bring you happiness. That's not true. And most people feel that way even when they make the money. When we were told that you just need to find the right spouse, have 2.4 children, which I always thought was a weird, you know, number, 0.4 children. But anyways, you're going to have this perfect family and this perfect house. And if you had that white picket fence, then everything will be great because, you know, you've earned it. You've worked for it. But it never actually works out to be this fairy tale that's wonderful and amazing that you watch on TV. And it's because it does not satisfy. We know that, yes, those can be blessings from God. But what truly matters is being a new creation and following Him. It's time to start new. And this is something that many Christians struggle with. We say, yeah, I get it. The old me is dead. Sure. Okay, that makes sense because, you know, I'm no longer living for my sinful nature. I'm no longer living for my selfish ambition and all the things that I've always said I have to have. We're now saying, no, I'm living for you completely. But it's hard to actually do. And it's because we still keep trying to define ourselves by our past and what has happened. And when we do that, you find yourself lacking. We find ourselves lost. We find ourselves never measuring up to what we think we should be doing. And that's because you're still living like the old you instead of knowing who you are now. Verse 10 and 11 explain some of this about being a new creation. You have put on your new self, which is being shaped and made new through the Creator, which is God. And it lists every person here on earth. Because I want to skip over that list of all the negatives. Because the problem is, when we list these negatives off and we look at that, we go, well, I'm not doing that one. And I'm doing pretty good here. And all right, I struggle a little bit on that one. But I'll work on that, Lord. You know. And we just keep thinking, well, yeah, all those things that are the way I should have lived, I'm making sure that checklist I'm doing pretty good with. And that's not what God is saying. God is saying, you have to understand, yeah, we're not supposed to do these things because that is our sinful nature. But this isn't a checklist. It's about your heart and your mind being focused on something completely different. When you're looking at God, when you are following God every single day, that list, you won't do them. And it's because all those things are your selfish wants for the way that you used to live in this world. But then we get that awesome list at the end about the people here on earth, and it lists every single human being. It says, you are no longer a Gentile. Which means that you are no longer just a person that is outside of the Jews. It says you are no longer a Jew. It says there is no longer circumcised or uncircumcised, meaning people that have a covenant with God and those who do not. It says you are no longer a barbarian. You are no longer a Scythian. You are no longer a slave. Actually, you are no longer free. That's not what we're talking about. He says, how do we identify? We identify as the family of God. We all are the same. We are all followers of Jesus. And to know that God is with us and that God is in us. Thank God that He used imperfect people to make this something that we can see in others. Because the person who wrote the book of Colossians was named Paul. Paul wrote many of the books that we read here in the New Testament. And there were so many amazing things that Paul did in the name of Jesus. But before Paul was living his life for Jesus, he had a past. And you think you have an ugly past? I'm going to tell you right now, Paul has a much uglier past than most of us. I would say more than 99% of us. If you go and you turn to Acts 7, you'll see an amazing story about a man named Stephen. Stephen was a man that gave his life to Jesus, and he did all he could to spread the good news. But many of the Jewish leaders, they hated the teachings of Jesus. They did not want to hear people saying that this is the Messiah you've been waiting for, that he is the Savior. They tried to make Stephen be quiet because he just couldn't. He couldn't help himself. He was a new creation. He had set his heart and his mind on things above, and he's like, it's just bursting out of me here, and I have to tell everyone. He had no problem speaking the truth of God and Jesus. The Jews got so angry with Stephen that they decided to publicly kill him. And then you can read in Acts 8 that there was this man named Saul. And it says that he approved of the killing and the murder of these Christians. He approved of the killing and murder of Stephen. And Saul, he was a Jewish leader. He was a Pharisee. And he chased after Christians to imprison them, persecute them, make their lives miserable, and as we saw here, even to kill them like he did with Stephen. Saul grew up learning the Word of God through the eyes of the Jewish leaders. His past said, this is right, this is good, this is what you should do. But what happens in one day in Acts 9, Saul is out trying to find these evil Christians that are spreading the news of Jesus. And what happens is Jesus shows up. He actually blinds Saul on his journey. It's an amazing story. If you have not read it, go read it in Acts 9. If you've already read it, go read it in Acts 9. But what we see here, that same man that grew up being told that this is how God wants us to be, that He wants us to destroy these horrible Christians and murder them. He finds the truth about Jesus, and it completely turns his life around. And we have to understand, actually, no, Saul was not the one that turned his life around. It was actually God who turned his life around. And Saul then changed his name to Paul, and he became the champion for Jesus that we know today. But the only way that Paul could do this is with the truth that we're talking about today. He wasn't doing a checklist. He wasn't looking going, oh, you know what? Every commandment that God has given, so I'm doing good enough now. No, it was the fact that he was taking the truth of who God is and who Jesus is and that he is made into a new creation. Paul knew that he's not defined by his past, that his past is not a curse that keeps him from following God. His past is not what keeps him from serving God and being loved by God. Instead, Paul writes things like he did in Colossians that says, my old self, that person, that past, those things that I used to believe and follow, they are now dead and gone. And I am made into a new creation. And that's not just for Saul, who is Paul. But this is for every single person. And the moment that you understand this, you will no longer say that you are cursed by your past. So I'm going to talk about this personally with me. I am not the man that I once was. My past does not define me. The things that I was taught, the things that I believed that were important, the things that I used to live for, the mistakes that I made along the way, and also the prosperous things that I did that were awesome and amazing, they no longer get to define me. Because my new life, my new identity, is that I am redeemed. I'm saved. I'm holy. I am loved. I'm a child of the Creator of the universe. I am His ambassador, and I am a new creation, meaning that that past is long dead and gone. And I want you to know that anyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you too have been made into a new creation. That past, it no longer exists. It's time to stop saying that your past has made you who you are. Yes, I understand we've gone through certain things that have molded us and shaped us, and we've done different things, but that is not who you are. Because when we live in that thought process, we're not fully embracing who we really are, which is a holy and loved person that is valued by the Almighty God. Because that's who you are. And if you've never heard that before, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know that He has died on that cross for you. You know that He has done it for the forgiveness of your sins. You are valued by the Almighty God, and you have been made into something new, holy and loved. This is what brings me to the challenge for this week. You are a new creation in Jesus. It is time to start looking to God and not our past on how we're going to live this life. We need to start looking to God and not our past on how we make decisions in this life and how we're going to move forward. I want you to know that you are not cursed by your past, but you have a future that is full of love, that's full of light, and it's full of blessings that only come from God. You are His. If you are a person that has never accepted the truth about Jesus Christ, you're missing out. You're trying to measure up. You're trying to get rid of this past. You're trying to overcome, and you will always find yourself lacking. I'm going to say to you right here and right now today that if you're listening to this and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is something so much better for you to be made new. A new creation. And then you can set your heart and your minds on things above. Not just what you see here and now. There's an amazing God who loves you so much. Seek Him out. Look for those answers. Because He's there and He's waiting and He loves you.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.